Welcome to TKG's Healthcare Insights, where we explore healthcare's critical issues, challenges, and trends with a focus on achieving the quadruple aim of enhancing patient experience, improving population health, reducing costs, and improving the work life of healthcare providers and staff. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome. We're glad to have you listening today. I'm Warren Smedley with the Kinetics Group. And today we will be continuing our look into how the COVID-19 pandemic has changed the delivery of cancer care. This is part two of our interview with Dr. Marty Heslin, the new Cancer Center Director for the University of South Alabama Mitchell Cancer Institute in Mobile, Alabama. In part one of our interview, Dr. Heslin shared his thoughts on how the delivery of cancer care was impacted by the challenges we all faced in 2020. He talked at length about how patients, hospitals, physicians, and clinical teams reacted to the pandemic and have demonstrated incredible resilience and fortitude throughout this last year. He also shared his findings of what he referred to as a market research tour of the cancer centers and hospitals within his new service area to hear directly from these key stakeholders what is most important to them in the delivery of cancer care and what they need from a clinical partner like the Mitchell Cancer Institute. In this episode, we continue with part two of the interview where Dr. Heslin shares his thoughts on the critical success factors for cancer centers as we move forward into the new normal. He also makes recommendations for how pharmaceutical companies can appropriately align with cancer centers around the shared values of improving patient outcomes. Let's pick up where we left off.
And nothing could be truer when I made it. So I went from Lead Hatchie to Montgomery, Montgomery to Prattville, Prattville to Clanton, Clanton to Troy, Troy to Dothan. And when I got to Dothan, you know, the doctors were like, and many of them who graduated from the Mitchell, the University of South Alabama College of Medicine said, well, I really haven't been back there. I haven't sent many patients there because I don't know anybody there anymore. And so again, that was resonated with, all right, so now I'm on the doctor's piece of it. You know, they said, A, which is a no-brainer. You and I worked on this in the cancer care program. A no-brainer, make it easy. Make it easy for me to send a patient to you to see in consultation and make it easy for me to transfer a patient to you. And with the census being at an all-time high for most facilities with many of the critical access hospitals closing, it's been harder and harder to do that, but that's what the doctors want. They want to be able to share in their patient's care. So for example, we need to be good partners. Like if we're going to be this quaternary care center, if for gastric cancer, I'm going to do the major operation, I need to send back the diagnostic laparoscopy and the Metaport placement to the surgeons closer to home so everybody wins something. We need to work with the medical and radiation oncologists closer to home because their care is longer and less episodic than the surgical care. And the doctors wanted to know, I mean, they recognized distance is a barrier, but they basically said, our patients will travel if we tell them you're the expert. But we have to know, the doctors have to know who to send them to. Which brings me to my next piece is MarCom. And this is completely disruptive innovation. It is completely unsavory. And
you're good at that. You're good at that.
Yeah, but anybody who hears this is going to go, oh, the money-grubbing doctors. How could you even say that? But my sense is what I think is the way to manage doctor relationships is to not put up another billboard. We don't need another billboard. What we need is to hire a black SUV with an internet connection so I can work while I'm traveling and actually pay me for my time to go meet the other doctors. Ugh, how unsavory is that?
Thank you. We spent a decade trying to convince certain people that that would be a good idea and just kind of never went anywhere.
Right, but it may go. I know the person who's in charge of the MCI now.
That does bring up an interesting question. What you're doing I believe we together, we discovered this, is so valuable at actually taking care of patients, is working collaboratively with the entire community that you serve. But now with technology, that community has actually expanded. And one of the things that I've been working on recently is taking a look at how has technology and the relaxing of state licensing of physicians, how has that potentially changed the opportunity for other cancer centers, big cancer centers around the country, maybe with bigger, more well-known brand names, for doing the same kind of thing and providing that remote care. And how do you see that? I think your strategy is spot on to preventing that market creep, but thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that we see it. So when I signed up for health insurance here, they had a benefit was the Teladoc program, and Teladoc just bought Best Doctors, which is electronic consults by experts that they choose. And so that was right in my benefit package where they said, hey, listen, for free, if you have a medical condition, you can get a free electronic second opinion. The institution will pay for it because they see that as a good way, good utilization of resources as a benefit for their patients to have a electronic second opinion. What an interesting benefit as part of my, you know, regular package. And so I just thought that that was super interesting. I do think that the market is expanding just like every other market, because you have the ability to set up cheaper, more convenient consultation that can give you the landscape of your condition. It can give you the pros and cons and the nuance. And although, you know, for certain things, you're actually going to physically have to still be there. It can remove some of it. But like all things, it's not an all or none process. Like if you're going to plan an operation, we're not at the point where you can routinely be on a console in France and do a cholecystectomy in New York, which was done. But so, you know, with robotic technology and the ability to have people on site, but then expertise someplace else, I think is going to be part of the future, but it won't take care of the most of the people where I need to see if you can get from the chair to the bed, and how much you're actually going to how much effort that takes, and can you withstand an operation? So I do think part of that will never change. But that being said, we have sensors now. We have watches that can measure your heart rate and to see if you have an arrhythmia. You have, you know, temperature sensors. They're going to be painting sensors on in your T-shirt soon that'll be able to report back. So in some senses, I say it may not. It's not mainstream right now, but maybe some point in the future. Short answer to your question is electronic consults and electronic management will close the distances that we feel are the biggest issue right now. And in fact, that was one of my major takeaways from this market research tour, is to expand our ability to create the telehealth options, because people will become more comfortable to the screen type visit just because they're so nervous about traffic and travel.
That's a great point. It reminds me of a study you did a couple of years ago to look at ability of the patients to be really ready for surgery. And that what you were starting to say was we still have to do that and make sure that the patient's not at high risk because they can't walk up a flight of stairs. Would you mention that study for us? Yeah. And kind of how that plays in here to make sure that patients don't think that they can do everything in front of a screen.
Right. No, it's interesting because we could monitor it remotely now that you say that. But what we've always said, you know, when we're doing surgical consultations, getting ready somebody for an operation, and they basically say, ma'am, can you walk up a flight of stairs? And the patient wants the operation. And they say, well, yeah. And then you ask the question, well, when was the last time you did that? the person might go, well, I don't know. We don't have any stairs in my house. I was like, what? So what we did was a timed stair climb. We said, well, instead of saying, when was the last time you walked up the stairs? We actually said, go and walk up the stairs. And we put a oxygen saturation monitor on them. We put a heart rate monitor on them. And we literally had them walk 7 steps down and 7 steps up. And bottom line is, if it took longer than 30 seconds, you had a significant risk of perioperative complications. And so it would just inform us on people's condition, as opposed to, there are a lot of risk models out there and risk calculators based on administrative data. And what we wanted to do was to put the rubber on the road. Listen, let's see how, whether you can do it, and at all cause, whether it's your knees or your heart or arthritis, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we just needed to see if you could go down and up. And if you couldn't, you were at higher risk. But conceivably, just think about it. I guess we could do that with somebody's family member FaceTiming them walking up and down the stairs now, right?
Good point. It could be done. But I think the important concept here is that you have to be careful and not expect that everything can be done by technology now. Some of it is still the art of understanding where the patient is and helping the patient understand where they are, because they may not know. They may not understand it themselves.
Correct.
So hit me up now with what you think the critical success factors are for MCI. What are you focused on? How are you? You've already talked about your web presence, communication with your community. What other things are you really focusing on as critical success factors as you go into the new normal?
So, like all things that you and I have done before, we want to be good citizens and good partners, right? I'm not here to pick a fight with everybody. Because people ask me, well, what about, you know, so-and-so down the street? And what about, you know, your former institution? And what about, you know, listen, there is plenty of population out there for us to manage. I'm not here to pick a fight with anybody. I'm here to take care of the patients the best that we can. And I think as good partners, and I mentioned it earlier for the surgeons, as good partners for the surgeons, you know, if we're going to provide a resource for community surgeons along the Gulf Coast, our motto has to be, I am here to take care of your problems. I'm here to take care of your sick patients. I'm here to transfer patients in that you feel uncomfortable taking care of, regardless of whether it's Friday afternoon or Monday morning. I want to take care of your esophagus, your GE junction, your liver, your pancreas, your low rectum, your sarcomas, your like weird tumors and things like that. I want to take them off your hands. And then I'll send them back to your oncologist to take care of them closer to home, because it's better for the patients. For the oncologists in the community, we have to be able to provide outlets when the community oncologist has done first line and second line therapy. We have to have a phase 1 program. We have to have things like treatment for acute leukemia and bone marrow transplant and things that are high technology, high expense, but really taking care of the very sickest patients and provide those resources closer to home. And so I see us as I want to be a resource for not only the patients, but a resource for the doctors in the community, and then the outlying rural regions as well. Because if we do that well, we're not going to have to worry about all the metrics and market share and competition, all that other stuff. I don't worry about that. We're taking the high road. We're going to be a resource.
Excellent. You've done that so well over the years, as long as I've known you. You're talking here about partnering with patients, partnering with providers, partnering with the community. At TKG, we have the privilege of working with many pharmaceutical companies, and they're anxious to also be a good partner. They want to be providing meaningful contributions to improving patient outcomes. So my final question for you is, what kinds of thoughts do you have about how manufacturers could be better, more meaningful partners in the mission to achieve the quadruple aim and improve outcomes for cancer patients?
Yeah, great question. Great question. I'm remiss for not mentioning that earlier. I do think we need to be the clinical outlet, like the end organ for the pharmaceutical company and their scientists. They bring stuff and products to market so much faster than we do. And we would be arrogant to think that we're the only people that can develop things. Now, yes, do we have a significant basic science component that works here? We do. Do we have investigator-initiated trials that try to translate some of the products and pathways that our scientists develop? We do. But we would be short-sighted to realize, to think that that's the only way to do it. And so my goal is to partner with pharmaceutical companies in our, you know, that can bring new and novel treatments to the patients in the Gulf Coast region and the Mitchell Cancer Institute. One of the advantages, you know, we have to connect with our community. We have up to, depending on what part of the community you're in, up to 40% of our population is an African-American population, which in many places have been left out of clinical trials. And so I think that for our contribution is engaging that community through our cancer control and prevention group, which we have an awesome one here. We do healthy meals, we do outreach for screening, and now we could provide, you know, a population of patients that have, you know, all the usual cancers, your breast, colon, lung, prostate, and, you know, some of them are more challenging in the underrepresented minority population. This is our opportunity to ensure that that patient population is represented in clinical trials to ensure that they get the same benefit that every other patient does in this country. And so I do think that at the Mitchell Cancer Institute, we have a unique opportunity to partner with the pharmaceutical companies and make sure that we are inclusive of all populations.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Dr. Heslin. This has been an outstanding discussion, as normal. We have lots of great discussions over the years. Thank you for your insights. It's critical for all of us to be able to gain a better understanding of how we can position ourselves to achieve that quadruple aim of enhancing the patient experience, improving population health, reducing costs, and improving the work life of healthcare providers and staff. I've really enjoyed dedicating my career to helping patients, and I've enjoyed spending the last decade plus working with you to do the same thing of overcoming the burdens and challenges of cancer diagnosis.
Well, Warren, I can't thank you enough. I quote you all the time as one of my greatest partners, and I still remember sitting together, writing on a napkin what the important things were, and you and I don't think ever forgot that. And I think it was the basis of a great relationship and a great partnership that I hope we continue going forward.
Still continuing.
Yes.
Thank you for your participation. Many thanks for joining us today and taking this time. I certainly appreciate that. I know we'll have a lot of listens to this particular podcast. Want to wish you much continued success in your new role. I personally believe that Mitchell Cancer Institute made a great decision bringing you in, and they're looking forward, I'm sure, to big things for the Institute as well as for you. Blessings to you and your family. Well, that wraps up another week of TKG's Healthcare Insights. Thank you for joining us. We welcome your suggestions, ideas, and requests for podcast topics of interest. Please reach out to us at tkgoncology.com/contact. And write Insights Podcast in the subject line. Thank you. Have a safe and healthy day.
You are listening to TKG's Healthcare Insights, a program produced by the Kinetics Group. TKG empowers life science companies to effectively engage with health system and payer customers by developing strategies and real-world solutions aimed at impacting the right patient at the right time with the right care. We also work directly with health systems and payers to address the critical issues of our time. We would love to hear from you. Reach out to us at thekineticsgroup.com. Thank you for joining us today.